This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you.
Scott, how are you doing?
Arnie, we're getting into winter months here. It's a little colder. I will tell you this. I'm starting to move a little slower, but ski season has just started, so
yeah,
I'm ready to get back up.
That. You're going to look forward to that. You know, I was thinking, and I mentioned this to you before, but we're now in our 10th year, if you can believe that. We've started 3 months ago, our 10th year. We've had lots of amazing guests and very interesting storylines. And, you know, I'm still pumped to continue to press on and find those people that, you know, that resonate with our listeners and that you and I, you know, enjoy getting to know better and finding out about their lives and their histories. And we have one of those today, you know, to sort of launch this next phase. You know, Terry Fennell, who started multiple businesses. She's currently involved in Busy Bee Cleaning Service and Whisper Creek Log Homes down in Hamilton. Plus, she has other business interests and activities. She's just like a dynamo, a business dynamo. And I'm anxious to find out about her background and what makes her get up every morning with a smile on her face and, you know, and go to work.
Agreed. And Arnie, you've seen a lot of business people. You've heard a lot of business pitches, a lot of, you know, people at different stages of either starting a business, running a business, or shutting down a business. So your experience here is going to be really interesting with this conversation with Terry.
Yeah. And, you know, as you know, most of them aren't successful. They try to start businesses and they find out going to work for somebody else. In Terry's case, it appears, and we'll find out more, she's been successful at launching new businesses and keeps launching them. So that's pretty impressive.
I know Terry. I've worked with Terry now for a little over a year. And I will say this, she's quite impressive. And to your point, the energy level is critical and it's infectious. So it'll be a good conversation.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Okay. When we come back, our guest is Terry Fennell, Busy Bee Cleaning, as well as Whisper Creek Log Homes. Back after these words. Arnie Sherman, we are back with our guest, Terry Fennell, who's the owner of Busy Bee Cleaning here.
Hi.
Terry, welcome to the show. How are you doing this weekend?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we want to have a conversation with you about chasing your dreams and your serial entrepreneurship and the activities and businesses you're involved in. But first, I think we want to know, who is Terry Fennell? Tell us the story. Give us the backstory.
I am actually one of the proud. I am a fifth generation Montanan. My grandmother was born on the North Shore of Flathead Lake. I graduated from Hellgate right there in Missoula. Graduated high school, traveled the country, was a traveling nanny, got to meet people from all different walks of life, learn about different cultures, and then came home at 27 and said, hey, what am I going to do with my life? And went back to school, got a degree at the University of Montana, and started my businesses, building my empire, and have never looked back.
So you're born and reared Montana with a long history, a family history here.
Yes, sir.
Came back. Why'd you come back?
You know what they say about Montana, it gets into your bones. And if you're born and raised here, it's one, it's hard to leave. Two, it's so hard to not come home when you're ready to start your family. And that's where I was. I was ready to get married and start a family and start my businesses. And I knew what I wanted to do. I just wanted to be able to travel and experience some things before I did that. And I honestly think that was one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Where did you travel, by the way? Where did your travels take you?
Yeah, so I have been to every state except for Hawaii and Alaska. And Maine, so three. And if I had to choose between the three, I would choose Maine before I go to the other two. I spent a lot of time in Florida. I lived in Texas. I lived in Reno, Nevada. I was very good with children and childcare and had been raised in a very large family. My mom is the second youngest of 12. I have 64 cousins.
Wow.
When my grandmother passed away, there was 64 grandkids, 22 great-grandchildren, and 5 great-great-grandchildren. So there's a mess of
How do
us.
you remember all their names?
It's just like remembering every dog you ever had. You love them, you remember.
I can't remember 64 things, let
Yeah.
alone individual people
Yes.
that you related to. That's amazing. That's
Yeah, we have a
amazing.
very, very, very large family. And funny enough, all very, very close. We spend a lot of holidays together, and so a lot of family support and cheerleading going on in my life. That
Do
definitely
you have
helps.
an agreement that you don't buy everybody gifts for everything because you'd be spending every single day of your life with birthday gifts, anniversary gifts,
Yeah.
holiday gifts?
Yep. We were really raised that family time is more important than anything physical or that you can touch, right? And so it was ingrained into us at a very young age that we took care of each other, that we loved each other, and that we supported each other, and that was what was most important. And so when holidays came around, Christmas, for example, instead of everybody buying gifts, everybody just gets together and we have a bunch of food and we play cards and we play board games and really just keep that old family traditions kind of alive.
When you travel, did you travel outside the United States as well, or was it mostly domestically?
Most of it's domestic, but I have been to a few other places, not off the continent, but Canada, Mexico, those kinds of things. But it really did and has impacted my life in a huge way, being able to see how different people in different areas operate, being a kid from Montana.
Right, and what you found out, I'm sure, which Scott and I know is the United States is very regional in many ways. Different regions of the United States are like different countries.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And even as an adult and as somebody in the business world, speaking to other business owners, small, medium, and even huge corporate business owners in different areas, talking to them about what do they use? How do they use it? What is their market like? You just learn so much.
Yep, that's really true.
Absolutely. So you came back and went to the University of Montana.
I did.
And you got a degree in business and you had a focus on marketing and sales
Yep.
and what did that add to the experience? Because you were am I right, you were a little bit older student when you went back to school?
Yeah, so I was 27 when I went back to college, so I was much younger than my classmates, most of them. I found that I was way more dedicated than a lot of the younger students. I was part of Phi Theta Kappa, Honor Society, super involved in the college. I loved that. And again, having that older mentality allowed me to connect actually with my professors on a different level than some of my classmates. And I feel like I got a lot more out of the college experience than I would have if I was younger, to be completely honest.
Yeah,
Was
some
there
of
a
the best,
professor?
I was going to say some of the best interns we've ever had have been the older students because they take it seriously. Yeah.
And there's definitely younger students that are have the right mindset and they're ready for that. For me personally, I believe traveling and getting to see and do all the crazy and fun things that I got to do before I went to college was hugely helpful. Now, is that right for everybody? Probably not. But for me, that was definitely the right decision.
Was there a professor that you resonated with, that you saw as a mentor, that really kind of helped shape what you were thinking, or did you just glean things from everybody?
Oh my gosh. So the one a group of classes that I was terrified to take was accounting with Tim Olson. Yeah, you guys, do you know Mr. Olson?
Oh, yes.
Tim turned into my favorite professor very quick. He realized that I was there to learn, and if I had a question, he made it very easy to ask without feeling like I was disrupting the class or feeling like I wasn't understanding something. He was very encouraging, was always like, you got this, you got this, you got this. I will never forget my first final was in accounting, very, very first final. Mind you, I've never been in college before, first semester, first final. And I have a one-year-old daughter who has been up teething all night. And I walked into Mr. Olson's class with a giant coffee. And he looked at me and he said, please tell me that's decaffeinated tea. And I said, no, I have a one-year-old. I've been up all night. And he goes, oh my gosh. He's like, are you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. I got this. I got this. And he goes, you too got this. I aced that. And then I slept for 2 days. And I won't forget it because he came back to me and he said, "Wow." He said, "I'm impressed." He's like, "For somebody that is, has a 1-year-old is dealing with a teething baby." He's like, "You did fantastic." And I thought, "Okay, if I can do that, I can do anything." So, yeah,
So
he was a great
you whip
inspiration.
through the university in 2 years,
Yeah.
you get your degree, you have this experience before school, you have the 2 years of school, you're armed with the academic and the real life experience. Lots of people don't want to start their own businesses. They go to work for other businesses.
Yeah.
What led you to decide you wanted to be your own business owner?
So this is wild. I never in a million years would have thought my life would go this way. So I get to my final semester and I have to have an internship. And I applied with a log home company out of Hamilton. And I went and interviewed for the intern position. And I said, the gentleman that I met with, I said, is this a paid position? I'm a mom of a 1-year-old. I'm working full time and going to college, so I need to know if this internship is going to pay. And he said no. And I said, okay. I said, is there a job at the end of this internship? And he said, no, I don't think so. And I said, okay, well, thank you for your time. It's just not really what I'm looking for right now. 2 hours later, I got a call from the vice president of the company, and he said, listen, so and so was so impressed that he asked me to just bring you in to have a conversation. Maybe we can find you a position in this company. And I said, okay. So I drove to Hamilton and I sat down with the VP and I just kind of laid out what my goals were for myself for the next year and the next 5 years. And he said, I think we want to be a part of that. So they hired me as the salesperson slash dealer representative slash marketing consultant slash whatever needed to be done in the office for a division of the company that they owned called Whisper Creek Homes. So I worked for them for several years, absolutely loved it, learned so much about the building industry, and fell in love with construction. Always had loved building, always kind of fascinated me, but never thought it would be an industry I worked in. A couple years later, the company had some unfortunate circumstances and they ended up having to file bankruptcy. When they did that put Whisper Creek up for grabs. And one of my best friends and my business mentor, who has just, she's just been amazing and helped me in so many ways through business. Her name's Michael Oakes. We're the two girls with boys' names. That's our joke. She said, why don't we do this? She goes, I think the two of us can run this. And so the year prior to this, we had done 5 million in sales, just the two of us, nobody else, just the two of us. And so we thought, this is a good little business. We can make this run. So we purchased the intellectual property of Whisper Creek Homes, which is hilarious that we had to purchase it because her and I were the ones that created it all, but that's how it legally works. Can I buy my own work, please, sir? And so we were able to do that, and we really just were excited to get started, and we got moved into our office, and we had our team hired, and that was March 13th of 2020. And if you remember what happened on March 20th of 2020, right? The whole state shut down, and we were sitting in our office, and we said, now what? And this is when we came up with our theory, and this theory is one that has saved me time and time again. If my child's life depended on it, could I make it work? If I had to build a rocket ship and somebody said to me, you have 60 days to build a rocket ship, and if you fail, you lose your child, could you do it? My answer is absolutely yes, I could do it. I would find every book, every researcher, every scientist. I could do it. I could figure it out. And when you take that mentality and you apply it to something so much easier, like making a business run, it's not that hard anymore. And so,
So tell me
her and
this for a
I,
second. One second. Just
sure.
when you laid out your 5-year plan, it didn't include buying the business.
No, I was gonna just work for that company forever. I loved it. I loved the construction. I loved the people that I worked with. But sometimes things just work out, right?
Right, so it
And
fell in your
so,
lap, it fell as an opportunity. You grab this opportunity, COVID hits, you got to
yeah.
figure out an alternative, plan almost instantaneously in order to survive. And what was that plan?
So that plan was to step back and slow down a little bit, which no business owner wants to do ever, right? And really, what it did is it bought us some time because everybody was like, oh my gosh, the world is shutting down. And we thought, you don't necessarily have to shut down. We have the space. We just scale back a little bit. And that's what we were able to do. Now, on top of fighting COVID, we were also producing six houses that the previous company didn't produce that customers already paid half down for. So we were producing those houses at half cost. So
Wow.
we were up against a lot in 2020, a lot. And we, by slowing down, scaling back, and having, this is the key, phenomenal communication with everybody involved, our clientele, our employees, our marketing department, and being very crystal clear on what our plans were. This is plan A, this is plan B, this is C, D, E, and F. We have every possible scenario covered. And believe me, we enacted some of that plan F because that's what you do in business. You sometimes have to adjust on the fly and just go.
I thought you were going to tell me you got each one of your 64 cousins to buy a house.
Which
But
would
Terry,
have been so much easier.
back to the thought about could you build a rocket ship in 60 days and keep your, to keep your child alive. I think it's interesting because because you were doing childcare and you were doing all of that, and you were already prepared. When faced with these immense challenges, if you take it from that perspective, you know that everything's possible. Everything's
Yes.
possible, and nothing bad, nothing, you really got to screw up for something bad to happen. So,
Well, and I
talk
think a
about
lot of,
that.
so a lot of people accept failure, right? And so my theory is we didn't fail. We just got to reorganize.
Right.
Just reorganize. Just shift the way you're looking at it. I bet you I've thrown 150 different ideas at a wall and had one stick. That's okay. So 149 were failures. Nope, 149 just weren't the right one.
Right.
And so it's all, I really think it's about the way you frame things and how you look at it. And when you take something, a monstrosity like building a rocket ship, and you compare that to making sure your cash flow is on point so that you can buy the new piece of equipment you want, man, buying a piece of equipment is a whole lot easier than building a rocket ship. I can
Sure.
definitely do this. And so a lot of people get overwhelmed in those little details that it brings them down and they just say, I fail. 90% of business, new businesses fail. You don't have to fail, just revamp, turn around, and find another direction to go.
Take us
So
back
what is
to take us back to March though of 2020, like when you said slow down and give yourself the space you needed to make the, what was, I mean, look, there was so much uncertainty. Arnie, we talk about this with a lot of our guests. You have a confidence, you have a sense of purpose. It's as how I interpret how you speak about this, that really probably was very reassuring to a lot of your employees, but all and your partner, but also your customers.
Yeah, so that's where we just took the time and called every single client, every single one. Said, hey, as you know, we're in a fun times. So here's our plan. Obviously, things are going to get pushed back. Here's our goal. We're going to have to scale back production because we need to separate everybody. But you're still going to get your home. We're still probably going to beat your builder. These are our goals. And if anything changes on our end, you're going to know immediately. That communication and that direct communication goes for miles.
Right. It surely does.
And I'm not gonna lie, the first 2 hours the state shut down, we sat there and looked at each other like, what are we gonna do?
Right.
I'm sitting on my desk, not at my desk, on my desk, She was sitting in her chair at her desk across the office from me. We had a giant whiteboard in front of us, and we just both started writing down as many ideas as we could. By the end of the night, it was probably around midnight, we had a plan, and we knew what the steps to that plan was. We had played devil's advocate. What if this client gets mad? What if this person says this? What if we can't get lumber from our supplier? Where else can we get it? What if this manufacturer shuts down? Where do we go to next? When I say we played devil's advocate and we worked out every scenario that could possibly go wrong so that we had an answer when it was asked, that was
Plus,
the
you
key.
were in a situation where you were taking over an existing company and you had worked there, and you probably had your own ideas about what the company needed to do to change under your leadership.
Correct.
And then you had to figure out how to integrate that. So let me
Yes.
separate that out for just a second and talk about what is the company now that's different from the company before you took it over.
So the biggest thing is that we have an incredibly amazing, dedicated network of dealerships across the United States and Canada. And so the key to that was being able to have the time and the resources to create and train, create training materials and train these builders and these network people to be able to sell our product.
Who recruited them?
I did.
You went out and recruited people in Alaska and Canada and all over the place?
Yes, sir.
And what was your
I
pitch? What was your pitch to them?
So for the building industry, for Whisper Creek, it's really easy. First of all, I believe in the products that we have. I understand the concept, not just what we do, but start to finish. One of the first things I did when we started that company is I actually went and worked in the framing shop for a week. I learned how to frame walls. I went and worked in the stain and chink shop for 3 weeks. Turns out I am awful at chinking walls. That'll never be my job. But I learned how to do it because it was important for two reasons. One, I went to job sites and I watched them build and I learned. That way, when somebody comes to me, whether it's a client, a builder, or an employee who says, I don't understand this, or this is hard, or this needs improved, I actually have firsthand knowledge to say, you know what? I can see where that might be difficult. How can we improve that? Or maybe if you look at it this direction, maybe it's not as difficult as you think it is, right? So it gave me that insight for clients, builders, and employees of what that is. So I'm not just a department head that pretends like I know what I'm talking about.
Can you talk a little bit about your partner and when you were going through that process? What makes that your partner? And I don't know her name.
Michael. At Whisper Creek, it's Michael. Yeah.
And what did Michael bring to the table that complemented your skill set, and how do you work together?
That woman is so incredibly smart, it is unreal. So she has a background in creative finance. She is one of the top SEO marketers in the company or in the country. She also has a paralegal degree. She has done property management. She has been in construction. She is a jack of all trades and absolutely a serial learner. That's what we'll call her. I can't tell you, every week I talk to her, she goes, oh my gosh, I just listened to this podcast and I learned this. Or did you know? Or did you know? And so she's constantly expanding her knowledge. She's such an amazing asset as well as a great friend, but she doesn't say things without knowing what she's talking about. And if she doesn't know, she's the first person to say, let me check into that and I'll get back to you. And I think that is what makes us work so well together.
And your
Because
skill set is more along the lines of ideate, creating ideas, creating to talk a little bit about your what your strengths are.
so I am a huge people person. I am very good at managing people. I'm very good at social media marketing and analysis. I really like to do recruitment, something that I'm very good at. HR, which I never thought I would do HR. Love HR, do it all the time. So we just have very different skill sets, but more than that, we have respect for each other's skill sets, and
Sure.
that is what makes us such a dynamic duo.
And who is your business mentor? Because you had mentioned that at the outset. Who is the
Yeah,
ment?
it's definitely Michael. It's Michael. She has taught
Got
me
it.
more than I could ever imagine. Yeah, she's just brilliant.
So there are 500 log home companies in the United States.
There's more than that, but yeah.
Well, that's a good number. That's an overwhelming
Yeah.
number. What differentiates you? Let's talk about a customer facing.
Yeah.
What differentiate? Why would somebody buy a log home from you as opposed to
Okay.
the other 500 plus?
You're really asking me to pull out my sales arsenal here. It's been a hot minute.
What? That's
But
good. It's you might d dust it off a little. Let me
a
hear
little bit.
it.
So basically, long story short, we're not a log home company. We are a panelized building system. So what that means is it's a 2x6 frame, OSB, house wrap, windows are installed, and your siding is applied. So if it's a half log siding, and we have multiple kinds of siding, then it looks like a full log home when it's finished. Now, the benefit to doing a panelized log versus a stacked log is that when you do stacked log homes, they are beautiful, but they shrink, they twist, and then you get air infiltration and you get bug infiltration, and then you have higher heating and cooling costs, right? So that's huge. Also, a lot of your log home companies come as a log kit. So your logs come, so most of them are pre-cut. And your builder is just kind of gets like a, hey, go do the engineering, go do the design. Here's the logs for the outside of the home, and you figure out the rest. At Whisper Creek, we actually work with our client from beginning to end. So we help them design their home. We help them, we do the engineering for their build site. So I get your latitude, your longitude, your snow load, your wind shear, your seismic, all of those things. And we have an engineer that's licensed in 48 states. So we have one amazing man who does all the engineering for every single state that we sell into. And then we have an additional engineer for Canada, because Canada is a whole nother ballgame. So we're supplying the engineered plans, the foundation plans, the shell of the home, the roof is pre-cut, the full home is designed, and your builder just puts it together and then finishes the inside. So we're talking about a 1,700 square foot home pulling up on a semi, walls standing vertically, and it's dried in weather tight in 5 days.
Wow,
that's amazing.
So
And how much is a home, how much can a home cost?
yeah, so our homes range anywhere turnkey, meaning the Whisper Creek product plus your local builder, completely finished, ready to move in, anywhere from 500,000 to, I think the biggest one we've done was about 9 million, 7 to 9 million.
Wow, that is sophisticated. That those are two different, way different,
Yeah.
levels.
So first-time home buyers.
Scott and I can barely afford the $500,000 one, let alone the 9
Yes.
million.
Our
Right.
market is not first-time homeowners, and it's knowing, right? You have to know who your market is when you're in business. We are not catering to first-time homeowners. These are usually second or third-time homeowners. A lot of vacation homes. We do a lot of business in resort areas, such as like, oh gosh, what's the one in California? Tahoe. Lake Tahoe,
Right,
we do
Lake
a lot of
Tahoe.
business. Yeah,
Right.
we do business in Utah. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of houses we have in Utah. There's actually a gated community down there that the builder that has the that does all the building, he won't build anything but Whisper Creeks. He says I can put up twice as many in a year, and they're a higher quality home than stick framing, because there's no weather, there's no theft, nothing's slowing me down. Like, let's just get these up and move to the next one.
And how many
Wow.
homes a year roughly do you put together? Are you
So
working?
we produce anywhere from 15 to 40 a year, and it depends on the size, right? So if somebody orders a tiny home, that might take us a half a day to produce, and somebody orders a 9,000 square foot home, that might take us, 3 or 4 weeks to produce. And
Right.
of course, you're waiting on things to get in. Like, you're waiting for the engineer to stamp it and approve it, make sure everything's good. You're waiting on design from your client, windows to arrive, things like that.
Talk about, wait, before you go any further, you talk about tiny homes. I see in my news feed on social media more and more tiny homes.
Yeah.
What is the allure of the tiny home and who's the buyer?
Tiny people.
Else. Santa's elves. So the buying market is still the same, right? It is that second time homeowner vacation home is typically who your tiny home buyers are.
Yeah,
And
they had
why
a
do they
piece
want
of
a tiny
property.
home?
I'm sorry, why do they want a tiny home?
I feel like it's quick, affordable, and it's something that they're not going to be in all the time. So a lot of them don't really mind if it's smaller.
Right.
Got
They
it.
have a piece of property. They're gonna, it's a little isolated maybe, and they're gonna spend, 10 weeks a year there, and they want a place, but they don't want the cost of, maintaining a big home.
That's
Got it.
exactly right. There's also a way you could put those tiny homes on skids and then they're movable.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, it's interesting. And then how about all of the, hookups for water, septic, electric, all of that? Do your dealers slash builders do all of that,
Yeah, so the
station?
most of our dealers are builders because they're looking for
I
a high
see.
quality, quicker way to build, especially the ones that are in higher end areas like Lake Tahoe. But some of my dealers, one of my best dealers is a school teacher in
Huh.
Butte. He teaches he's retired school teacher now. But he also coaches girls volleyball. He has real estate. He knows everybody in the valley, both directions. He's not a builder, but he has a builder that he consistently works with. So it's really easy for his clients to just have a builder, and it's all a one-stop shop for him.
Scott, I was thinking of the movie The Jerk when Steve Martin even said, "I'm just going to take this lamp." I'm listening to Terry, and I hear somebody saying, "I'm leaving, and I'm just going to take this house. I'm going to put it on the
Right.
skids and just take it."
Well,
So,
that's.
sometimes it's that easy.
Let's do a
So,
quick
this would be
ID. Let's do
enough.
a quick ID, Arnie. Our guest is
Not
Terry
sure.
Fennell. She's the owner of Busy Bee and Whisper Creek.
Whisper
Oh my
Creek.
gosh. Okay.
So, that's what I was going to get to. So, for most people, this is enough, but not for you, obviously. So tell us about Busy Bee Cleaning Service and why did you decide to start another business while you got all the
Okay.
work associated with this one?
So my best friend since the sixth grade came to me and said, I need your help. And I said, all right, what's up? She said, I can't work for anybody else. I need to make it to my kids' basketball games. I need to make it to football games. My husband's schedule is all over the place. He works for the state of Montana. So sometimes he's on nights, sometimes he's on days. She's like, I really need to do something. And I said, all right, what are you thinking? She said, well, I really like to start my own cleaning company. I really enjoy cleaning. And I was thinking about it, but I don't know how to run the business side of things. And I thought, okay, so I'm still at Whisper Creek full time. And we started doing residential cleaning. And I was answering the phone, doing the scheduling, doing the billing. Takes me like 10 hours a week. Within 2 months, it blew up to the point where we had so many calls coming in and we had so many requests that we ended up having to hire somebody else. So we hired another person, and within 2 months of that, it just went absolutely insane. And now I'm getting commercial calls. And one of our first clients we picked up was Montana Relic before BNSF took over. And I thought, oh my gosh, is there really that big of a market here? And so I started doing my research, and there is a big market in Missoula for janitorial needs. So we expanded into Airbnb and commercial from residential. That was in 2021, I believe. And then in 2023, we had grown so much that we were up to six employees and we needed to drop something. So we decided to drop residential. Residential is tough because people have things come up and then they need to cancel at the last second. And it's really hard when you have employees to reschedule an employee at the last second. They're depending on their hours, they're depending on their paycheck. And
Right.
so we ended up dropping residential and going to strictly Airbnb and commercial. Within 6 months, we had so many commercial accounts that we were hiring again, and our Airbnbs were starting to die off in the winter. And we thought, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time we move straight commercial. And honestly, this last year has just been a whirlwind. We decided that we were going to have a growth year. And what I mean by that is one of the big mistakes people make in business is uncontrolled growth. They try to take on as much business as quickly as they can, And what happens is you lose your quality control. And as soon as you lose your quality control, then you start losing clients. You start losing your employees' willingness to work and their pride in their work. And so I'm a firm believer in controlled growth. So we decided we were going to have a growth year. And we opened up marketing and we started doing some advertising, as you guys know. And we've picked up 7 contracts this year and 6 new employees and decreased our turnover rate by 50%.
Oh.
It's just more steady and they can count on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So every one of our employees has a set schedule. It does not change. If they ask for a day off, we do everything we can to get them that day off. We really, really try. In return, if something comes up, we ask that they help cover shifts, and it's really a give and take. Our employees are spoiled beyond belief, and I'm okay with it. My theory is I can spend $25,000 a year recruiting, hiring, and training, or I can spend $25,000 a year keeping amazing employees. And so I choose the latter. And what does
Smart
that look
move.
like?
That's smart. That
Yeah.
is.
And what it looks like is different to everybody, right? And so for me, what I have found works fairly well for me is it's the little things that people appreciate. Like, hey, you mentioned the other day that, your mom got taken into the hospital. She doing okay? Are you doing okay? Do you need anything? Be a human, not a boss. And be surprised how devoted, loyal, and how much pride people take in my work.
Terry, have you are you a mentor to anyone?
I'm not.
I find that Arnie, I don't know about you, but I feel like she's a would be an amazing mentor.
If she had the time, because we know that Terry has other business ideas and interests besides these two. There's
Well,
just
that's a
the
good point.
bandwidth that Terry Fennell can have. And what are let me just jump right into that. What else is in the cauldron that you're stirring up that's going to be percolating out?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. I'm expanding Busy Bees. So I actually live in Lincoln, and one of the reasons I'm able to live in Lincoln, it was part of my tenure plan, was that I knew I needed to build my businesses to be able to live on my in Lincoln and not work for anybody else. So part of my tenure plan was to build my businesses big enough that I could work from home. So I can do accounting. Thank you, Tim Olson. I can do marketing. I can do scheduling. I can do HR, all those things I can do behind the computer. And then thanks to technology, I'm able to make our companies completely paperless. So I do everything through the computer. Right now, as I talk to you, I actually have both my major computer desktop monitors up, my laptop, and my phone. Like, I'm a tech nerd. But being able to live in Lincoln, I knew I had to do that, and that's what I did. And now that I'm here, now I have bigger dreams. I want to live Lincoln, but I also maybe want to have a house in Paris. I don't know. So I'm just going to keep working on building my empire. The next business is going to be in the property management industry, and I think it's going to be huge. And I'm piloting a new idea that's going to be tested, and then hopefully franchised. So franchising is something I've never done before, and I'm very excited to try my hand at it.
Well, it seems like a good area to expand into. There are so many available properties around the country that are Airbnbs or empty, and people aren't sure about how to manage them if they let people live in them part-time. And there's like 18 million homes in the United States that were bought by larger entities, and they're empty,
Yeah,
and they could be put
absolutely.
to use for lots of purposes.
There's just so many things out there. And honestly, this is something that's been on my back burner for 4 years. So this isn't exactly a new idea. I've had the LLC. My business partner in this company is Michael. So between her and I, she's ready to start another business too. And I think we're ready to just see what we can do with it.
It's amazing that you have so many things going on. And the what? How old is the 1-year-old now?
She turned 13 last week.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, and that's your greatest accomplishment, is
Oh,
right?
absolutely. Absolutely. Raising a good-hearted, decent human being is the ultimate goal.
Have you put her to work?
Yeah, right.
So funny enough, she always tells Michael that she's taking over the company. She loves construction too. Cleaning houses, cleaning businesses is not her thing. She's like, yeah, no, I'm good, Mom. But she's definitely interested in the construction company. She is a member of the Business Professionals of America, so she is learning some very valuable business skills in other places than besides from her mom.
Is everything is every where are the businesses? They're all virtual, or are there physical locations to them? I
So
know
there's
Busy Bee.
Busy Bees. So Whisper Creek
Whisper
Homes is in
Creek.
Hamilton. Yeah, it's just south of Hamilton, about 6 miles between Hamilton and Darby. Busy Bees, I do have a little office in Lincoln. It's basically my home office though, because I do so many things. We are
Sure.
looking at a storefront here for the new one for MTB&B. So we will are looking at getting that going here pretty soon.
It's just Arnie, we come across a lot of folks in our line of work here at the station in that town square where, we never met Terry in person. We only met Terry in person a couple of days ago, actually, but talked to her a lot. And it's one of those things where you just know when you speak to somebody that they have a direction and an idea, and they've kind of they understand 3D chess, because it is, in a lot of ways, it's 3D chess. Kind of that night that you and Michael spent kind of looking at all the different scenarios. You're always doing that as an entrepreneur,
Always.
right?
Always. I mean, if you have ADHD, use that. It plays into it, because I'm telling you,
Totally.
I can have nine different conversations in my brain, and I can tell you 17 different endings for one question. And I'm able to prepare myself for that. And I think it really helps.
Well, you have to have motivation, you have to have drive, you have to
Ambition.
have, a whole combination of those kinds of, adjectives about, your work life that makes you successful and makes you enthusiastic about waking up the next day rather than waking up and saying, "Oh my God, I have to go to work again. I'm going to have to deal with." You seem to be in that category of people that wakes up and is happy to get back to it.
And I think that the trick to any business is remembering a couple of things. First of all, I have 100% burnt myself out before. When we started Whisper Creek, I ran myself into the ground. And since then, I have learned that it's okay to take a day and not think about work. It's still going to be there tomorrow. On the same hand, you need to push that needle forward at least 5 days a week. If you don't push your business forward, nobody's going to do it for you. I promise you, nobody is going to do it for you. You have to get up every day and say, I'm going to make three calls. Or you got to get up every day and say, I'm going to research X, Y, and Z. I'm going to be prepared for this. I'm going to see where I'm going. I'm constantly setting goals and then figuring out the path to reach those goals. And sometimes it's playing the long game, right? Sometimes it's buying an LLC and letting it sit on the back burner for 4 years
And
because
it's
you don't
also
have the
trying to
time.
figure out, which is a very measured thing to do, how much time has to be spent on running the business and how much time is spent on getting the customers for the business. I mean, there's, lots of people are very happy on the running side or on the selling side, but not everybody can do both or pays attention to both.
That's
Yeah,
true.
and that is where I have been incredibly fortunate in finding two business partners, not one, but two. I have two different business partners in my businesses who complement my skill set because they have a different skill set that they're both open-minded, they're both intelligent women, they know how to problem solve. And the biggest thing is just not letting things overwhelm you and being able to remember at the end of the day, it's like a marriage, you're a team. Your
So if you
team
look
at the
back
end.
5 years, anything you would have done different looking back?
I don't think so. I mean, there's definitely some growing pains. There was definitely some really hard conversations that I've had to have. There were some things that were not fun that brought me to tears. But I wouldn't change any of it.
And along those lines, how do you and Michael, let's say, work through conflicts? Like, because it's just the two of you in some instances.
So Michael and I have a thing where we say table it. And that was something we agreed on a long time ago. And so if either one of us says table it, that's the end of the conversation and we walk away. In all of our years to working together, we have only ever had one like big disagreement, and it lasted about 7 minutes and we were over it.
Wow.
Bridget and I don't have disagreements very often, but her and I both have the same kind of concept where if we disagree on something, we say instead of table it, we just say let's revisit it tomorrow and we'll just
And
put it aside and move on to the next thing.
do Bridget and Michael know each other?
Yes, and they love each
Yeah.
other. It's hilarious. They get along great.
It's a big family.
It is.
So for our business listeners, the one question that needs to be asked, it hasn't been asked, is how did you finance all this?
Oh boy. So, with Whisper Creek, we had to purchase the
Intellectual
property.
property, yeah.
Yep. That was, I think we maxed out three, four credit cards between the two of us. We were able to pay those off within about 4 months, 5 months, but that meant no paychecks, nose to the grind. At one point I was still bartending and waitressing just so I had money coming in while I was building the business. You have to be willing to put almost everything first. And when I say almost everything, the only thing that will never come before my or will never come after my business is my child. Right. Everything else though is negotiable. And that is the biggest thing. So yeah, I worked 30 some hours a week and at night and worked 40 to 60 hours some weeks at Whisper Creek to get things moving. So yeah, but once you get things going, then you can use one business to finance another business, and that's when you start creating multiple revenues of income. Now, that being said, if you are somebody that likes red tape, there's lots of free money out there. You just have to be willing to do the paperwork and jump through the hoops.
To get to it, right. Let's do this, Terry. Let's take a quick break. Our guest is Terry Fennell. She is the serial entrepreneur and our guest. We will be back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our guest, Terry Fennell.
So I'm sure you've piqued the interest of some of our listeners. So how do they get a hold of you for Busy Bee Cleaners and also for Whisper Creek? How do they reach out to you?
Yeah. So Busy Bees, you can contact us through our website if you're looking for a commercial cleaner in Missoula, busybeesmt.com, super easy to remember, or info@busybeesmt.com is my email address. So feel free to send me an email or check out our website. Whisper Creek Homes has a huge web presence. We have a YouTube and we have a website, whispercreeklodgehomes.com. You can also reach out to any of our dealers if you're not in the Montana or Missoula area. And you can find our interactive dealer map on our website there as well at whispercreeklodgehomes.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's been great talking with you. You're very inspirational. You're very energetic. You make business sound easy, and we all know it's not.
It's
And
definitely not.
we appreciate you taking the time from Lincoln, Montana, to spend some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It has been wonderful to sit down and talk about these experiences. I haven't done this in a while, so it's fun for me.
Okay,
Great.
well, you may
It's
have your
great
fourth.
question.
She Arnie, she has a fourth business, and I've already thought of what it could be. She should be doing her own version of Terry Talks, not TED Talks, but Terry
Terry
Talks.
talks. Yeah, I like that.
I've already decided that I've got like maybe 20 years left in me in my retirement job. It's going to be, I'm just going to go around and help people get their businesses set up. Like they can hire me.
Perfect.
I'll fly out to like Florida, Cancun, Maine, and just help you get your business set up, and then I'll be
I
cool.
think
Right.
that there's a future in that. I guarantee it. Anyway, Terry,
Terry
thank you so much.
Appleseed.
Yes, exactly. You've
Thank you
been
so
a
much.
great, a delightful guest. Thank you, Terry. Arnie, I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Scott. Take care.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.